Today we're going to learn Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph of Maseches Avodah Zarah. We're holding on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph at Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak, the last word on the first line of the page. So the Gemara is going to explain a little bit more about the Isser of Bishul Akum. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav, Kolen Echel Kamo Shu Chai, Ein Bo Mishum Bishuli Avdu Chavim. Any food that's edible raw, if you cook it, if a guy cooks it, it's not going to be a violation of Bishul Akum. Besura Masnu Hachi. In Sura, that's how they taught what Rav said. But Bepumedisa Masnu Hachi. In Pumbedisa, they taught it a little differently. That Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav, anything that wouldn't be served at a king's table together with bread is not a chashuv enough food to be subject to the isser of Bishul Akum. So if you have something that's a very low class kind of food that's cooked by a guy, it would not be asr. My benayu, what types of foods would fall as a nafkamina between these two possible exceptions to the isser of Bishul Akum? Ikh benayu, dogim ketanim, va'ardi, v'daisa, small fish, or some types of mushrooms, or some types of wheat or barley that are crushed up and cooked, all of those things are able to be eaten raw, so therefore, according to the first version of Rav, would not be subject to the Isser. I'm sorry, they're not eaten raw. All those things could not be eaten raw, and therefore would be subject to the Isser of Bishul Akum, according to the first version, but they're also very not chashuv, and they would not be olal shulchan malachim, and therefore, according to the second version, would not be subject to Bishul Akum. Amar Rav Asi Amar Rav, dogim ketanim meluchim, small salted fish, ein ba mishum shalev rechavim, is not subject to Bishul Akum, because they could be eaten raw, since they're salted. The salting of the fish is like a treating of the fish that makes them edible raw. Amar Rav Yosef is similar to what they do to like the salmon that they use for sushi. Amar Rav Yosef, im tzla'an ovid chavim, somach Yisrael alei mishum eruvi tafshilin. Not only that, if a guy roasts such fish on fire, since you're allowed to eat them, you're also allowed to use that fish for eruv tafshilin. Even though as far as Bishul Akum, it may not be considered a real Bishul, meaning you might think, therefore it's not considered a cooked item, and in order to make an eruv tafshilin, you need a cooked item. So you might think, well, if it's not Bishul Akum, then obviously we don't consider it to be cooked. But no, it's cooked enough to be subject to be usable for Erev Tafshilin. V'avdinu Ovid Chavim Kasa Daharsana. And if Ovid Chavim makes from those small salted fish a certain type of dish called Kasa Daharsana, which is fried with oil and flour, Aser. That's going to be Aser because that type of food with all those ingredients could not be eaten without being cooked. So Gemara Pshita, obviously when you make Kasa Darsana, that's something that's not edible raw, so obviously it's subject to Bishul Akum. No, Maudite Maharsana Iker Kamash Malan Kimcha Iker. You might have thought that the Harsana is the Iker, that the fish fats are the Iker, and the fish fats themselves are Nechal Kamashul Chai. They are able to be eaten raw, so that's why it comes to teach me that the flour is the Iker, and the flour cannot be eaten raw, and that's why it in fact is subject to Bishul Akum. So main point number one, two versions of Rav, whether that which is eaten raw is not subject to Bishul Akum, or that which is not olal shulchan malachim is not subject to Bishul Akum. Another din, Amar Rav Bronam Rav, Ovid Chavim Shehitzis Es Ha'or, Ba'agam, Kolach Agavim Ba'agam Asurin. If a guy lights a swamp on fire, and it therefore burns all the grasshoppers in the swamp, but by burns it, it means cooks all the grasshoppers in the swamp, all of them are asur ba'achila, because a guy has cooked them. Say, Chidami, what exactly happened over here? Ilema d'lo yada heitar ve'tame. If, because of the burning of these grasshoppers, the Jew cannot tell which grasshoppers are kosher and which ones are not kosher, so that it has nothing to do with Bishul Akum, it has nothing to do with the guy lighting the swamp on fire. Even if a Jew lit the swamp on fire, you'd have the same problem, because everything might be non-kosher. No, the issue over here is you're able to identify the kosher minim of grasshopper, but it's a concern of Bishlakum. So says Gemara, but wait, ki agav miyasir, would that really be an isser of Bishlakum when he lights the whole swamp on fire? V'amar avchanan barami, amar rabbi pedos, amar rabbi yochanan, hay ovid chavn dechar resha, shari lemechel minay afil mereshu nay. If a guy burns the head of an animal to singe off the hairs on the head, even though it toasts the ears, you're allowed to eat from those ears. Alma laburi seir kamachavin, because your kavan, the goy's kavana in lighting that fire was not to cook, it was to get rid of the hair. So also, when he burns down the swamp, his kavana is not to cook the grasshoppers, his kavana is to clear out the agam. And therefore, when there's no kavana for bishul at all, it should be mutter. So it says, well, the olam deloya de hetar veitame. Now, so it must be the situation was that we were unable to identify which were the kosher and which were the non-kosher grasshoppers, and the reason that we specifically said it was Novik Chavim who did it, because L'chorah, if you can't tell what's kosher, what's not kosher, then even if it's a Jew who did it, it would be a problem of Bishlakum. It would be asr to eat, because you don't know what's kosher, what's not kosher. The reason we gave a case of Novik Chavim is because it was an actual Maisa that happened, and the Maisa happened with an Ovid Chavim. So Gemara explains, so main point number two, that whenever the guy does not have kavana to cook at all, like he's just trying to do to remove hair, or he's just trying to clear a swamp, that is not subject to bishalakum. Gufa, now the Gemara goes further. Amar Rav Rechana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hay ovid chav necharach reisha, shari lemechel minei afilu mereshu nei. If a guy singes the hair off the head of an animal, you're allowed to eat even from the tips of the ears of the animal. Amar Ravina, hilka chay ovid chav edisha de siksalatuna. Therefore, if a guy throws a piece of wood into a fire in order to dry it out, the cover by Yisrael karmei kara, and the Jew had stuck a gourd, a melon, some type of food into that fire in advance, and the guy didn't know anything about it. Shapir dami, it's mutter to eat it. It's not subject to bishalakum. Says Mar Pshita, obviously it's not subject to bishalakum. It's exactly the same din that Rabbi Yochanan said. No mal detem lu bishulim mana kamachavin, kamashvelan lisharure mana kamachavin. I might have thought that the guy does have kavana to cook because he's trying to cook the peg that he's putting in the oven. So kamashvelan is coming to tell me that his kavana is to strengthen the peg, which is not called bishul, and therefore it's not considered that he has kavanas bishul. So when a guy, main point number three, when a guy turns on an oven to do something other than bishul, even though a Jew snuck some food in there, that food is not going to be asr mishum bishulakum. Now the Gemara discusses what happens if a Jew and non-Jew participate in the cooking process together. Amar Rav Dimar Shmuel, hinech yishol basal gabi kacholim, uba ovid chavim v'hafach bo. Let's say a Jew puts some meat over coals to cook it, and then an ovid chavim comes and turns the meat over. So mutter, the meat is in fact going to be mutter. Hey chidami, what's the case exactly? Ile miti lo hafach behava bashil. If the food would have been cooked, even if the ovid chavim would not have turned the meat over, then pshita, then of course it's mutter, because the Jew is the one that put it on the flame, and that ultimately is what cooked it. The guy didn't help in the cooking at all. Now the case must be that without the guy's participation, this never would have gotten cooked. Well then, am I mutter? Why should it be mutter? Shouldn't this be a classic example of bishul akum, where it should taka be asur, because it never would have gotten cooked without the guy? Says Mor Latzricha, it would have been cooked without the guy's participation, but not nearly as quickly. It would have taken 2 hours. Now that the guy flipped it, it only takes 1 hour. So I might have thought that that's something that he's bringing the bishul closer, he's making it happen sooner, and that's considered a significant action. That's why Shmuel has to tell me that it's not considered a ma'aseh chashuv, because without the ovid chavim, the meat would have gotten cooked anyway, and that's why it's mutter. So ask the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol shu kemachol ben drusai ein bo mishum mishul ovid chavim. But I thought any food that's already cooked to the point of what's called machol ben drusai, just cooked to the point where it's barely edible, it's no longer subject to the isra of bishul akum. But the diuk to make from that is that that if it's not cooked to the point of machal ben drusai, yesh bo mishum bishulev chavim, it would be subject to bishul akum. So in the case where Shmuel said his din that the Jew just left the food on the fire, on the coals, sounds like even if he was not yet at the stage of machal ben drusai, we should have asked it if the guy then turns it over. Whereas from Shmuel, it sounds like it's going to be mutter. So says Gemara now, hasam. In the case of Rabbi Yochanan, it's talking about kigon de osvei besilta, that after the Jew partially cooked it, took it out of the oven, and he put it in a basket, and it would not have finished cooking. V'shakli ovechavim va'osvei betanura, and then the guy took it and put it in the oven and finished the cooking. That's where Rabbi Yochanan says that only if the Jew had gotten it to the point of machal ben drusai is it mutter, but if it was not yet cooked. But at that point, to Machal ben Drusai, since the guy did the whole rest of the cooking, it would be Asir. But in the case of Shmuel, the meat was sitting on the coals. Had the guy never come along, the food would have gotten cooked. So therefore, it doesn't matter at what point the guy came along, the food would have gotten cooked anyway, and the food is therefore going to be mutter. Tanya Nami Yachim of Ebraisa says just like this, Maniach Yisrael Basar al Gabi Kachalim, Uba'u b'chavu mahafich bo at shavu yisron b'es ha-knesses o'im b'es ha-medrash v'enu choshesh. If a Jew puts the food on the fire, even though a guy is going to go and flip it and turn it and whatever, until the Jew comes home from shul or whatever, you don't have to worry about b'shalakum. Shofesas isha k'deira al gavi kira, a Jewish woman could put a pot on a flame, u'basu v'chavim u'magisa, and the ovedus kochavim, the non-Jewish friend of hers, or housekeeper or whatever, could come and stir it atchatovim beis hamerchatz and beis haknesses till the woman comes home from beis hamerchatz or beis haknesses, from the bathhouse or the shul. You don't have to worry about bishalakum. That's exactly what Shmuel was saying, is that if you leave it on the heat source, it doesn't matter at what point in the process the guy starts participating. It is interesting that it talks about a woman putting the food on the flame and coming home mi beis haknesses. You know, just parenthetically, there are a number of halachos that are very, very clearly halachos, but do not appear in Shulchan Aruch for one reason or another. And one classic example of such a halacha is the halacha that you need a mechitza in a shul. So there's significant discussion in poskim why it is that mechitza in shul is not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. So I think that Tzitz Eliezer says because women never went to shul, there was never a need for a mechitza in a shul before women started going to shul. I don't know. It doesn't sound that way from this Gemara. It sounds like they're waiting for the woman to come home mi beis haknesses. It's totally parenthetical over here, but it sounds like that's the Gemara's assumption. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara discusses what if the guy started the cooking and then the Jew finishes it. This happens all the time. A woman comes home from work or from wherever she is, and she finds the non-Jewish housekeeper has started to cook something. It's not totally cooked yet. Is there any way to salvage it? So yibayiluhu, he niach ovid chavim v'havach Yisrael mahu. What if the ovid chavim put the food on the fire and then the Jew turns it over or does something? So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak kal v'chomer. It's a kal v'chomer from the previous din where the Jew put it on the fire. Gemara b'yad ovid chavim mutter b'yad Yisrael l'kolishkein. If when a non-Jew finishes the cooking process, which is the more significant part of the process, it would be mutter. Then for sure, when a Jew finishes the cooking process, it's going to be mutter. Itmar nami amra barachana, Rabbi Yochanan rami la amra vach barachana, amra Rabbi Yochanan bein sheiniach ovicham vavach Yisrael, bein sheiniach Yisrael vavach ovichavim, mutter vein alsat shetet chiloso ugmaro biyad ovichavim. Whether a Jew started it and a guy finished it, or a guy started it and a Jew finished it, it's going to be mutter. It's only asr if it was begun and finished by a non-Jew. Amar Ravina hilchasa harifta, a certain type of baked bread, the shagar ovid chavim, that the non-Jews lit the fire in the oven, va'afi Yisrael, and the Jew put the dough into the oven, inami shagar Yisrael va'afi ovid chavim, or a Jew lit the oven and a guy put the bread into the oven, inami shagar ovid chavim va'afi ovid chavim, va'asi Yisrael va'afi or even if the non-Jew turned on the oven, the non-Jew put the bread in the oven, but the Jew just sort of stoked the coals to make the fire go a little higher, shapir dami, that's good enough. That's where we get our major kula, that we allow a Jew to just raise the flame or to turn on the flame, and that's going to be considered good enough to take care of the problem of bishul akum. So main point over here is that if a Jew participated either at the beginning or the end of the cooking process, there's no isser of bishul akum. However, if a Jew cooked something to less than machul ben drusai, and then took it off the fire, and then a guy cooked it the rest of the way, that is a problem of bishul akum. Okay, we'll stop there, and next time we'll do lamed ches amid beis.